It's wonderful to see you all here today on, I believe, what is the second Sunday in Lent. Great day today. We are having two people take communion for the first time today. Raise your hands if you are taking communion for the first time today. Yay! So Kobe and Sophia, so they baked some bread last Sunday after church. They found out that, you know, communion bread is just all of the stuff that we encounter here on the earth. It's nothing magical. Communion isn't magic. It's wonderful that I see some additional family and friends with them today as part of this celebration. Oh, let's see. Lenten services. We continue those this Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will have chili, is that right? At 6 p.m., we want no leftovers, which means you all need to come at 6 p.m. and eat soup. And the bread was very good, right? Like, it was like a roll thing. I promised Wonder Bread, but they outperformed. So it was like a little roll. So if you don't like chili, still come for the roll. that means we have to have the roll this week. Write that down. Any other announcements this morning? Mike. Actually, I will say not everyone was happy about it. Lydia got out of the car today. She's like, where's my stump? But just so you all know, they brought in like a, what do you call a bunch of beavers? Is it a herd of beavers? I don't know. They brought in a herd of beavers. That's how they got rid of it. All right, enough of my lame jokes for, well, this part of today. Can you give us some music so we can do a noisy offering? Would anyone back here like to help? Lydia, let them help. Hold on, bro.
Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you through the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the water of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may be lifted up life to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all of the families of earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 121 responsively with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
The second reading is from Romans, the 4th chapter. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him and who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all, as it is written. I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Jeff, can you back us up a couple slides to that verse I mangled? Oh, that one. Yeah, that one. Well, maybe. We'll see. Just leave it up there. It'll be great. Here we are. We have reached a verse that is so common that even those outside of Christianity would know it. Right? And here I am, lucky enough to get to preach on a verse that, well, pretty much speaks for itself. But what's more, even though it speaks for itself, so much has been written about it and said about it that I find myself asking, what can I possibly add, right, Tom? So Tom's like, well, then move on. Luther is said to have called this verse the gospel in miniature, which sounds about right. So here's what I propose. Instead of me preaching on this verse, let's just preach this gospel to one another. We will recite it together, preach it to one another. We'll receive this as good news, move on. Sound good? All right. We're going to recite it together, okay? You ready? Now can a grown man be... You're not reciting with me. Now, can a grown man be born again? Nicodemus asked. He's certainly not. Enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. Oh, that's why you didn't recite it with me. I might have had the wrong verse written down in my notes. Well, I guess I'll preach on Nicodemus then. So, in the spirit of giving cruel nicknames to those who we encounter in the Bible, Thomas, you might know something about that, right? Yeah. Well, doubting. Well, perhaps we should call this man Doubting Nicodemus. Or I came up with this one myself. How about Naysaying Nicodemus? You like it? Yeah? Not particularly. I'll have to keep trying. It's easy to want to badmouth Nicodemus, though. After all, he is a hated Pharisee, and if Scripture has taught us anything about Pharisees, it's that they are always looking to trap and condemn Jesus. But also, why is this Pharisee coming at night? Does this important Jewish leader not want to be seen associating with this rabble that surrounds Jesus? And then, listen to how stupid Nicodemus is. A grown man certainly cannot enter his mother's womb a second time. And then we kind of imagine his voice trailing off saying, can he, as he tries to figure out the logistics? Or perhaps we can offer Nicodemus some grace, some much-needed grace, and maybe not ridicule him. So this important Jewish leader, this Pharisee, found Jesus and humbled himself. Rabbi, he says, this Pharisee, this great teacher of Israel, as Jesus himself calls Nicodemus,
calls Jesus the teacher. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent to us from God. No one else could perform the miracles you're performing unless God were with him. Nicodemus doesn't proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, but he does proclaim Jesus as being sent by God. Nicodemus comes at night. Why? Probably because he is afraid. A Pharisee visiting Jesus was very risky business. And can we blame him for wanting to protect himself and his position? We would do the same, I think. And what about his confusion that he expresses? Listen to what Jesus says to him. I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, that's kind of confusing. The word here that is translated as again, as and born again, is anothen in the Greek. Anothen means both from above and again. But Nicodemus clings to that single part of that word, the one that says again, leaving him to ask, how can one be born again? And then he asks that silly question, so we just climb back into our mother's womb then? So, I'm 39 years old. I've been confirmed. I have regularly attended church services since birth, minus college when I missed a Sunday or two, or 200. I am 7/8 of the way through seminary. And I readily admit that what Jesus says here is still confusing to me. Nicodemus may have been a great teacher, but Jesus is teaching something new, isn't he? And since Jesus said this and it was recorded, theologians have been debating this for millennia. And there is not consensus about what this means. Does being born again from above mean accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? A lot of people say yes. Probably many in this room. I don't think so, but that's just me. Or does being born again or from above mean being baptized with that old self being put to death? That being put to death allows us to be born again. So my definitive answer with my best Lutheran understanding, I prefer the second one over the first, though who am I to say that it is definitively correct? But I do believe that it is in our born-again baptism where it is the Holy Spirit that does the work to claim us. It is the work of the Spirit because, as we know, we cannot achieve our own salvation, can we? Who in here can achieve their own salvation? Let me know. Anybody? No? Okay. Didn't think so. So, let's go now to this, oh good, it's still up there, this gospel in miniature. As Luther said, this verse is so pregnant with meaning that it can never be exhausted. This verse is on t-shirts and posters. It's on tattoos on people's bodies. It's tattooed onto people's minds. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. But what are the requirements here? What does it say? So everyone who believes, belief, that is a requirement. So quick Lutheran quiz. Is belief, is faith our work or God's work? God's work. Yes, I taught my kids something. Not much. Faith is God's work. And my understanding, again, it may be wrong, of Jesus telling Nicodemus in verse 3 that we must be born again, born from above, is that we must believe. And our belief, our faith, comes from God working in and through the Holy Spirit to give us that faith. It is a gift given to us in the waters of baptism. And daily, we are born again. Because daily, we are drowned in those waters of baptism. And unless we want to stay dead, we must be daily born again. Born from above, born anew. And this happens by being curious. By coming to Christ during the day, at night, and being willing to ask questions. Sometimes very hard questions. But always being open to the work of the Spirit. But there's a problem with this verse. A big problem with this verse, I think. Boring. We've heard this verse so much that we're bored by it. We've heard the gospel preached, the gospel proclaimed so much that it just doesn't ring true anymore, does it? It's like, yeah, Jesus was born, died, rose, and all that stuff. I'm saying, yay! Grace, faith, all that good stuff. Confetti. But Nicodemus, a Pharisee that is searching for answers, this is something radical to him. It's mind-blowing stuff. But as the third chapter of John closes, we don't know what happens to our friend Nicodemus. Was he changed by this or not? Did Jesus instantly change him? I don't think so. Or is Nicodemus left struggling, grappling with his faith? So, show of hands. Anyone here ever heard of the TV show Chosen? Alright. So the Chosen, here's my preamble on the Chosen, and then I'll get back to the sermon. The Chosen is a dramatization of the gospel accounts. It's not, you know, nonfiction. In it, you will find many stories of Jesus and the disciples that you read in the Bible. But you will also find storylines that were added as backstory to make it more interesting. It isn't meant to be watched as an autobiography. It uses artistic license to add humanity to the gospel, to biblical figures, and explore the sacred text in a new way, and that it does. While I want to caution you not to take it as gospel truth, pun intended, come on, a little laugh, giggle, anything, because as I said, much of the character development is done without scriptural basis, I do recommend it as another way for us to connect to scripture. So with that out of the way, I find myself so interested in Nicodemus today because of his role, because of the way his character is developed,
in this TV show, The Chosen. We can almost imagine him struggling with what's going on here. In this TV show, and probably somewhat in his real life, he's seen as struggling to make sense of Jesus' miracles. And as he says in verse 2 of today's gospel, as he calls them sign. And before he even has his nighttime meeting with Jesus, we can see him struggling and grappling with his faith as he argues with one of his students. And he says this, "I don't want to live in some bleak past where God can't do something new, do you? Let's look to the ancient roads and walk in them, as Jeremiah said, and still keep our eyes open to the startling and the unexpected." And this, I think, is what we see Nicodemus doing in today's gospel. From looking into the past, Israel's past, which is, by the way, a past that we share with the Jewish people, Nicodemus sees that Jesus is, at the very least, a prophet. And here he is, in front of Jesus, with his eyes open, pleading with Jesus, "Tell me that you're from God. I know you're from God. You have to be from God. Who else can do these things except for one that is from God?" And Nicodemus, because he is looking for the startling and unexpected, gets so much more than he could have imagined when Jesus says these words from John 3:16. But John chapter 3 leaves us with a cliffhanger, doesn't it? Did Nicodemus come to believe? Does anyone here know who Paul Harvey is? Yes, the younger ones over there are like, not a
wrestling story.
And now for the rest. I can't do the voice. But now for the rest of the story. In John 7, as the Pharisees were arguing over whether to condemn Jesus, Nicodemus, this same Nicodemus, says, "According to our law, we cannot condemn people for hearing them, before hearing them, and finding out what they have done. But most help is from John chapter 19. Nicodemus, who had first gone to see Jesus at night, went with Joseph of Arimathea, and the two men took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices according to Jewish burial custom of preparing a body for burial. Nicodemus was there at the end. We all have those moments, those days, those weeks, years, even, when we just don't get it. So I have to climb back into my mother's womb? But that's impossible. We all have times when belief seems impossible as climbing back into our mother's wombs. When faith seems just that impossible. And that is why we cannot ridicule Nicodemus today. Why we must offer him that grace. Because naysaying Nicodemus, well, he's us, and we are him. We doubt, and we question, but in the end, we must all pray for the curiosity, for the boldness, and dare I say, the God-given faith of this Pharisee, Nicodemus. A faith that allows us to so loudly proclaim together this time. You ready? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And for that, and for the God-given faith that we share together, let us say together,
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation.
O God, you so loved your church. Raise up leaders who care for their people. Bless lay theologians, seminary, and college professors, and all who are called to minister to the teaching that they form and inspire us for the work of your gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers, scientists, and activists who love your earth and inspire us to care for the natural world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony, especially the United Nations and Amnesty International. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress. And in times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. Especially this day, we lift those impacted by natural disasters, including the continuing earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, those impacted by man-made disasters, including the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. We lift Joy, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, those who are touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts.
O God, you so loved your children. Bless the young in our midst and delight us with their joy, wonder, and curiosity. Revive our ministries with children and youth and equip us for all faithful discipleship. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, in trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say,
Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts and to receive you in this meal as you pour your presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, you call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we can come to the fullness of your grace. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and speak their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and bless these gifts of bread and wine. Bless the feast, grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up in the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. All are invited, and the banquet is ready.
This is the body of Christ.
is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Mm-hmm. This is the body of Christ. Please stand as you're able to do so. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus with the eyes of our hearts open to your promise. Empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love. Amen.
And now receive this special Lenten blessing. May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all peoples. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed with those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain with joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in the world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.